This is Iron Mike Stedman. As always, I want to thank you for tuning into our show, the legendary Dog Whistle Brandon. Dan Caulfield, a fellow Marine and business coach, once told me that businesses have to reinvent themselves every year, whether you're a venture-backed startup or a small creative agency. The moment you start to get comfortable and complacent, you're already dying. You just don't realize it yet. Sometimes things happen outside of your control, like a global pandemic or the release of a new product like ChatGPT that disrupts your entire business model. In these moments, you only have one option: innovate or die. In today's episode of DWB, Drew and I discuss the origin story of the Misfits and how we managed to make a way out of no way. Before we jump in, do me a favor and make sure you subscribe to our newsletter at the link in the show notes. I'd also greatly appreciate it if you purchased a copy of my first book, Black Veteran Entrepreneur: Validate Your Business Model, Build Your Brand, and Step into Greatness, available on Amazon at the link in the show notes as well. All right, enough of me talking. Gunny, get them ready.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
You're listening to Dog Whistle Branding, brought to you by the team at Ironbound Media and The Misfits, a branding and design studio that unfucks brands. I'm your host, Iron Mike Stedman, the godfather of Dog Whistle Branding and co-founder of The Misfits, along with my design partner in crime, Drew O'Brien. Dog Whistle Branding is sponsored by JobPaths and Mission Plus, a tech platform that helps nonprofit organizations upgrade their websites and leverage technology to deliver services online. You can learn more at missionplus.com. All right, get out your pen and paper and get ready to build a dog whistle brand. Saddle up, lock and load. My man Drew's got the coffee. He's ready to go. What's up, my man?
I'm an old man. 3 o'clock is the latest I can drink a cup of coffee these days.
Ooh, that mic sounds good. We got to get you a mic stand, but that mic sounds good. You sound good. Oh, he's got his little mic stand. I forgot to warn Drew about the mic stand because the ATR 2100 is like my favorite microphone, but it comes with a weak, weak mic stand. But you sound good, brother.
The stand is horrible, and I don't like holding it. So you're right. I gotta buy one off of Amazon.
Before we get into like our topic today about innovation or die, I just want to say, man, I really look forward to these podcasts with you because it's like during the week, it's almost like an AR for us, right? Because we got a bunch going on. We're going back and forth in the chat. We text. We talk on the phone. But I really like this podcast, man. I like this flow.
It's good to talk weekly about business. It's a little bit of therapy, right? Because unless you have business partners or other friends or family that own businesses, it's tough to actually talk about running a business unless, you know, someone's been through it before, right? My friends who don't run businesses, I'm not chopping it up with them about important business things. They have 9-to-5s, and that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But they don't understand what it's like to make payroll. You know, they don't understand what it's like to pay the bills and have to pull shit out of your ass on a Thursday because payroll is on Friday morning for the rest of your team. You know what I mean?
Right. You know what I think is dope about us? Because people talk to me all the time about podcasting. And they get all upset about like, oh, I should be doing this. I'm like, just shut up and just podcast. Enjoy the podcast. You got to be obsessed with your category. See me? I'm obsessed with branding, right? I rock brands, et cetera. You do the same thing. Like, you make your own brands. You wear your logo. I love podcasts, and I create podcasts, so I show up, right? But I think sometimes people get so, like, transactional. Like, everything, like, for creatives, everything has to make money. Kind of takes the fun out of it, you know? And I'm just like, man, just keep showing up. And so, like, dude, I love this podcast. I love chopping up with you. And this topic is good because, by the way, none of this was by design. The fact that Drew and I were going to co-host a podcast, we're going to start The Misfits. That never was like, we never made a plan. We didn't have a business plan or nothing. We're going to go back, right? So full transparency, my podcast pipeline had been kind of dry, right? I had a couple clients roll off, you know, and just like Drew said, cash flow was going down. But because of how I think about business, I do create these little anti-fragile systems. So I always have good cash flow, but you still don't like seeing your cash flow get eaten down, right? And Drew sent me a voicemail, like, I think NBA All-Star Weekend was February 18th, the week before. He sends me a voicemail. He's like, hey, I know this is last minute, but I'm headed out to Indianapolis, Indiana for NBA All-Star Weekend. And I'm going to be a little woo-woo, the universe told me that I should invite you, right? And I know if you can't go, it's cool, but I just thought I'd throw it out. I said, Drew, I'm in, right? Spend $1,000 on plane tickets. We're out there. Mind you, I'm leaking revenue. The bucket is leaking. Cash flow is leaking. But you and I were on the same page, man. Like, you got to go on the offense. Who knows what's going to happen, right? So we go out there, we chop it up, and we're actually working on the Ironbound Media rebrand when we come up with the Misfits, right? Because we're like, oh, we'll talk about our business, whatever. But then out there, we just kind of start chopping up about what could we do together. Fast forward. Go ahead.
So just imagine if you decided to say no and you didn't want to come out with me, which was cool, all right? I was ready to go solo, and that was fine with me. But we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have this podcast. We wouldn't have the Misfits, because in that 72 hours that we spent together, if we weren't networking ourselves with other people when we were chilling at the Airbnb or eating dinner or going out with people, we were talking about how we could all make more money, right? So if you said no to that, maybe this would have happened, but it would have taken a year.
Yeah. And I'll tell people this story. Literally, I'm on a call with one of my coaching clients. Shout out to Matt Damrick, Bridger Construction. And he asked me, he said, hey, do you know anybody that does websites? And Drew was behind me. And I said, actually, we're thinking about spinning up something ourselves. We could do it. I met with him the following week and we got our first client. And Drew there, but actually, even before I left, Drew spun up the Misfits logo in about 5 seconds, right? And sent it to me, right? And then when I hit the ground on Monday, we made a quick landing page. We got our first client and we're off to the races. Now, why am I saying this? Because Drew's going to talk about the subscription that he just launched and why he launched that. But like, I was walking in the forest and I didn't know how long the fucking forest was, you know, and I couldn't see on the other side of the forest, right? My revenue's leaking, but I made a decision to take action to spend a lot of money because those flights out to Indianapolis were not cheap, right? But something just said, I don't know, like, you got to just do something, anything. You got to pick a direction and walk. So you hit me, we went out there, and we launched the Misfits. And literally, this shit has been kicking ass and taking names. It's a whole vibe. But there were no guarantees that this would happen. But I just made a decision, you know? And that's what we're talking about. Like, everybody talks about these startups, innovation. No, motherfucker, what are you going to do to innovate? How are you going to figure it out, right? And this was the second innovation. Because honestly, Drew, I had done the rebrand for Ironbound Media with the Underdogs and Misfits and the AI generated brand identity. That was my first test. Got some leads on it. But you know what came out of that? The Underdogs and Misfits more than anything else. That messaging resonated with them. Whether it's the cowboy or it's our little red mascot, right? People dig that.
Yeah. And that's just a testament to you, to us. When your back's against the wall as a business owner, you got to pull some shit out of your ass, right? Unless you are someone like Amazon or like a billion-dollar company, you're not going to consistently have growing and growing and growing and growing every single month, right? Business has ebbs and flows. So I had a similar situation about a year ago. I went on my honeymoon with my wife, and then I also went out to Portugal with my business partner, Phil, and I was out of the country business day-wise probably for the entire month of May. Right. I was frolicking all throughout Europe. I was having a great time. And then I come back. My business wasn't dead or anything like that, but I had no new leads. I had no new cash flow coming in. The only money I had was from my existing clients. So I said, OK, I can't even pay myself this month because I'm going to be hurting the business. So what did I do? I could have just sat there, panicked, spun up some BS ideas and changed everything. Instead, I saw that the market was changing. A lot of these agencies are creating subscriptions, right? And agencies, design agencies, marketing agencies, regardless of what you want to call yourself, there's always been this word that everybody hates, which is called the retainer, right? So traditionally, a client would pay you $1,000, $10,000, $100,000 a month to work for them, and that would be your agency retainer. That model is still alive. It's just not as wildly popular. So then what did I do? I created the Unlimited Cool Shit design subscription. And then I created a $99 plan, $1,000 plan. And now we have an a la carte plan. So if you want to dink and dunk and you're a small business and you need a couple of social media posts, go ahead and join our $99 a month. If you're a business that wants to take yourself a little bit more seriously, go ahead and join our $1,000 a month, which we call the Vanguard. And then if you want to join the Syndicate, which is our a la carte, it could be $3,000, it could be $5,000, it could be $10,000. The reason why I made this subscription is for two reasons. As a business owner, it's continuous revenue. If you sign up with us, it's a year contract. So if I sign up a client for $1,000 a month, that's $12,000. I know that I have $1,000 a month coming in. Now that's on the business side. From the side of the client, they like it because if they sign up for even a $5,000 a month client, that's $60,000 a year. Okay, just for argument's sake, that's a subscription. Now here in Manhattan, if you have $60,000 a year, that is a mediocre designer. That is a junior graphic designer salary, right? A junior graphic designer can't handle all of your entire needs for your one company. So instead of hiring a massive creative team internally for your business and having a payroll of $100,000 a month, we created our subscription to where, hey, we could be your creative team. You get me, you get my designers, you get our entire team, and it's at a fraction of the cost. And we just happen to brand it the Unlimited and Cool Shit Design Subscription because that differentiates ourselves from everybody else. Now, the big thing that separates us is we don't outsource it overseas. We don't send it to India. At the end of the day, it's done here in Jersey by our team, by us, and you're getting actual real quality results. A lot of these subscriptions, they tell you one thing and they do the other. Now, some of them are great, right? I'm not standing here and shitting on all of the competition, but the difference is we had a successful agency for 7 years. We took our entire creative team from here, and the only thing that we changed was we just have our creative team working on the subscription as well. Now, if I didn't do that a year ago, I'd be in the same exact place now. So now as a business owner, I'm able to go ahead and frolic throughout Europe again, and then I don't need to worry about my pipeline coming in because I have consistent contracted revenue coming in.
Now, all right, this ties in to what you and I were texting about last night, Drew. So I even forgot to mention, before I went to Indianapolis, right, I was Drew's client, right? Because I hired Drew to help me with some marketing stuff. Now, I don't know what happened. You just called me out the blue, or me. We text all the time. Whether we're working together or not, we're always texting. We're always checking on each other. And he told me about his subscription, right? I said, I'm in. He wasn't even pitching me. He wasn't even selling me. He was just talking about it. And I was like, I'll take that. I became one of his clients. Reason I bring that up, Drew, it was less about me knowing the ROI on that and more about me supporting you. And I would rather support you, you know, I believe in that. Like, I believe in that energy of the entrepreneurial ecosystem. It's the same thing that led me to buy Dan's ticket to Into the Woods, even though I'm not a fucking designer. I just knew he was head down launching this conference. I had a little margin. I said, you know what? Let me support this guy. Little did I know we would have this. Same thing when I asked you, when you were talking about what you were doing, I said, yo, count me in as one of your premium, one of your vanguards, right? And last night I told Drew that I hired a DJ for the Misfits, right? They're called Bunker, and they're going to come on here. And as much as it is about the ROI, right, we're going to be making some mixtape workflows for you all, and we're going to be dropping them every month, so be on the lookout for that. It's going to be super dope. But part of it is, yes, I want to make some money, right, marketing, but also I like supporting entrepreneurs, man, you know? And, like, I ain't doing your little, and we're going to do an episode on Dinkin' and Dunkin'. I didn't choose your Dinkin' and Dunkin' one. I even choose your middle one. I said, yo, give me this one, you know, because I want support. So it's funny you kind of telling that story. But as we continue to work together, I think you're going to kind of see my philosophy on kind of things. And this doesn't mean I'm right. Right. It's just like you'll see a consistency there. Right. Of like, yo, Mike puts into the entrepreneurial ecosystem. Right. Mike is supporting the vendors. Right. He ain't trying to dink and dunk with them. He pays their invoices up front. He does all that other stuff. And I don't know where that comes from. I think it really is my life philosophy of just lifting as I climb. But I just think as an entrepreneur, when you're getting beat up all fucking day, you know, I describe it as like walking around with a bloody nose 99% of the time. And then sometimes like your nose starts to bleed and then you clean up and it starts bleeding again. And I think part of it too is like, I got a pure inbound offer to be a fractional CMO. Pure inbound. So I got hired to be the CMO. And I just want to pass energy off too, you know? So yeah, money and stuff. It's like, bro, if I help these guys out even for, hire them for a year, 6 months, 3 months, my goal is that anybody that touches me or works with me and my team, no matter what I do, I always want people to come out better people.
I'm gonna hit on that in two separate ways. One, the attitude that you have in terms of supporting a small business or any size business, right? Supporting the right people and kind of putting it out in the ethos. So you don't even do it so that it comes back to you, right? You do it just because you feel like it's the right thing to do. That separates you from a lot of other people, right? Usually people put some good stuff out there, karma, just so that they hope that it comes back. What I hate to see on social media, you know, there's these memes all the time where it's like, hey, how about you stop supporting your celebrity that you follow? And how about you start supporting your local business? So if you need to get a haircut, go over to Key Cuts in Montclair. If you need to get an apparel made, you know, or if you're looking for some apparel, head over to the Spoils. Whatever it is, if you want to go eat some great food out in Newark, go out and you know, go to Kinjo, right? The whole point is you should be supporting your friends. If you're not entrepreneurs and you're just a, you know, you're a civilian, quote unquote, and your friend has a business and you are not going to that business, I genuinely don't like to see that, because it's really, really hard to run these types of businesses. It's really, really, really difficult to do this every day. So my point is, you are 100% one of those people that really does put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Now on the other side, and I'm not going to call out pricing or anything like that, I also called you out and I was like, yo, you're out of your fucking mind.
He did call me out. He said, you're out of your mind.
So there's a big difference in supporting your friends and family and then making bad business decisions and paying extra for things that are not needed. I'm not saying that this is the case, but the reason why I bring this up is if you paid $1,000 for something that I genuinely believed was worth $100 and I don't call you out and we work together every day, forget that we're running the Misfits together, you know, as your friend. If I'm not calling you out, then that makes me just as bad as you, because if I didn't call you out, you just might continue to make these types of decisions. And all of a sudden that cash flow that you were just talking about, that's nice. That cash 100% flow goes away.
Yeah. But I talked to, so I have a business coach and her background is therapy, right? Her name is Brooke Bergman. I might get her on the podcast because that's actually good. And well,
therapy,
she's got a partner.
I don't know if I'm going to agree to that, but you know, that's fine.
Why not? She's not therapy. She's a coach.
No, I'm kidding. We should get her.
But her partner, Dr. Sherry Walling, wrote a book called The Entrepreneur's Guide to Keeping Your Shit Together, How to Run Your Business Without Letting It Run You. If you on screen, you can see it, but it's a really dope book. And I work with Dr. Walling and I work with Brooke, and I have Brooke today. And one of the things I've learned over the years is like, it's hard for me to explain what's in my mind because my mind moves so quick, right? But like when I do it, I do it. Whether it was like the Misfits and us spinning up or like what we've been doing with the mascot. It's like, it's hard for me to explain how all the books I read and all the things I've learned have told me to make this 5-second decision, you know? But I was already thinking about, man, we're going to start doing vibe checks. And I just did this with someone. Like, what's the vibe check of your brand, right? Are you like Ernst & Young, Blazers, and, you know, name tags, right? Or are you like, you know, Outkast, right? So I had this idea. I want to create a vibe. And, you know, we're going to create these playlists on Spotify and whatever. And I was just like, yo, Bunker is down the street. I've been seeing these dudes. We haven't got a chance to chop it up. Walked over there, pulled them outside, and they had a party last night, Drew. Because they were celebrating their 1-year anniversary. I pulled him outside and said, hey, man, I want to run something by you. He's like, yeah, we could definitely do that. And he gave me his price. I said, fuck that. I'm paying you this. This is what we're going to do. And we're off to race. I think I made his day. Literally, it was just awesome. But I was talking to Brooke about it, and she said the same thing. She's like, you're one of those people that likes energy. So, like, even when I go to, like, a Makers event, even if I don't want anything there, I like to buy a card or something or a bag of something from a Maker just so they know I believe in you. Because I know what it's like to sit there and have your shingle hanging and everybody's walking by and you get no love, but somebody just boom, right? I'm obsessed with the category of entrepreneur, you know? And for me, the other thing is when I work with people, I want you to treat me like a premium. Like I like giving people an offer they ain't gonna get nowhere else, right? Because there's a sense of loyalty and there's a sense of buy-in and like, I move so quick. I'm a quick start. And so sometimes my follow through isn't the best, But like, if I hit you at 10 o'clock at night because I need something, I want you to feel energized and excited to support me. Not like, oh man, here's this motherfucker.
There's nothing worse than, oh man, here's this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Right? But at the end of the day, you're, like I said before, your thought process is gold, right? Honestly, we need more people like you. Business owners need more human beings like you that walk into a shop. And even though you don't want to buy this little bullshit tchotchke thing that you might never even use again, you buying that $50 item at some type of retail shop out in Newark, that might make that person's day. Maybe they didn't have a sale today. Maybe it's 4 o'clock already and they're already worrying about the rent they got to pay. And maybe your $50 isn't going to save them, you know, their business, but it's going to give them a little bit of cheer on the way home, right? People, you know, we spoke about it an episode or two ago. You really got to celebrate the wins, right?
Got to celebrate.
As business owners, we don't really look at things as wins, right? Yes, you and me, when we sign a client, we talk about money. Yeah, we're talking about winning. We're talking about winning. You literally told me 5 minutes ago before this meeting on Slack, you're like, yo, I just signed a 10K client. And literally, I'm like, all right, cool. What's next?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that too.
That's what I thought in my head. I'm like, all right, Mike, cool. Like, how come you didn't sign a $20,000 client, right? Like, that's what's fucked up, right? Now, it's good to have that mentality because we always want to grow. We always want to make more money. We always want to build. But really what I should have done, I should have stepped back and I should have said, yo, Mike, let's fucking go, man. Like, I should have sent you, you know, an audio note. Yo, man, you're killing it because you are. Yo, man, you're bringing in all this revenue off of really no work. Like,
and good clients. And great clients, too.
Exactly. But if you don't stop and give yourself flowers, because make no mistake, no one else is going to give you your flowers, right? Only other Mike Steadmans are going to give you your flowers. The general person, they're all pessimistic, right? So sometimes we need to separate ourselves and be like, yo, man, we fucking killed it today.
Yeah. When I got hired to be that fractional CMO in Pure Inbound, I left the office that day because I worked out of another podcast production company here in town. Y'all went and had me a nice dinner, man. I got the fucking scallops, bro, the bacon, you know, and I just sat and ruminated because I remember when you're just like, the bucket's leaking, you know? I remember being in the forest. And one of the reasons too, Drew, I'll tell you, is like why I felt comfortable hiring the DJ Bunker was because, see, now I know how to, I'm back. Like, I know how to make money. You get what I'm saying? I'm not stressing about it. Because when you have a shitty offer or the market's dying, it's so hard to make money. You're like looking under the table, you know what I mean? Whatever. But when you got a really good offer and it's working and people are buying, like for small businesses, you know, like startups love to call it product market fit. I don't like that lame. I think it's lame. You just, people are buying what you're selling. Let's say that for the small business, right? So like one is a one-off. Two is like, all right, we might be something here. Three, it's like, all right. And then four, it's like, okay, we're good. You know, and then also have a full pipeline too. So I'm not even done yet. And so that's also why, and you know, what we're doing, one of these mixtapes pays for itself 10 times 1,000 over, right? I think it just paid for itself because I told him we're making a mixtape, right? And I think he just let him know everything about my vibe already. So things like that. But I will say this, yo, I hit Drew in the Slack because I have another business coach and she's going to come on here. Her name is Pia Silva.
Mike has 15 coaches, by the way.
I do have coaches. But I'm a coach, right? What I say about being obsessed with a category. And her business model is a little different. It's no BS agency. And it's all about kind of lifestyle design, right? So you do intensives and then you book clients in advance, right? Which we can do. But Drew was like, I was like, oh, I made this mistake in the past with Ironbound Media. Like, oh, I should slow down. I think I got enough clients. Let me finish these and move them on. And he was like, who are you? What do you mean slow down? He's like, I got a baby coming. I work all night.
Honestly, I was about to delete your number and forget I ever knew you when you told that to me.
Yeah.
Think about this. We signed 40K worth of business in 15 business days.
Yeah.
And you're going to stand here and tell me you want to slow down? No. I want to put lighter fluid on top of it, and I want to turn that, you know, 40 into 400K, right? Now, that doesn't mean we work until we're burnt out and we want to jump off a bridge. That just means we figure it the fuck out when we have too much work that's on our plate, right?
Yeah.
The reality is there is never too much work on our plate because if we're smart, we understand how to delegate, right? Which is the number one thing you could do as a business owner. You hit on something earlier. It's important to know what to do when the bucket leaks because guess what, Mike? We're not always going to be on this hot streak. That's how business works, right? So when we're on a lower point. It happens in every business. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say. You have down months. You might have two down months in a row, and then the other 10 months you kill it. But those 2 months, it might be down. So the point is, when that bucket's leaking, what do you do? Do you just watch it leak? You let all the water spill out onto the floor? Or do you figure out how to plug in all the holes and get after it? Now, the good thing is, if you've been through it a couple of times, you know how to see it, recognize it, and then you know how to fix it.
I think about, there's a book by Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Harley called Who Not How. And like so many of the times, like we try to solve our stuff ourselves, right? Or even it's like, oh, we need, you know, I got to get one client, right? But who's the who? Who has access to multiple clients? Or who's the partner that you need? You know, one of the things we always talk about the Misfits was it's kind of like a play on the Avengers model. But even before that, you and I were talking about the Ironbound Collective, right? Of like all these different vendors and people we've worked with for years that are vetted, right? You shouldn't have to go outside our circle. So like even for the CMO role, man, I already hit the CEO. I said, I want to do a video shoot. I want to do a brand story, right? I already got the guy. I already teed up Sean Bell. I called him. I gave him a warning order. And I'm like, yo, I want to bring you to DC with me. I'm going to pay you. And I want to capture this brand story. But it's like these relationships are happening and you don't know where they're going to lead to, right? And you're not being transactional, but it's just like, yo, you just water these relationships. You know, you never know, right, when opportunities come. But for me, I like helping people win. That's what I like. So as soon as I met Sean with you, right, whether we go do this shoot, he's going to do a brand story for me anyway.
I mean, you never know what's going to come out of your network, right? Or even something as simple as continuously putting out content on social media, right? I have clients hit us up and they, you know, potential clients, and they'll book a call with us and they'll say, hey, I've been following you on Instagram or TikTok for the last 6 months. Finally, I want to go ahead and start my business, and now I'm ready to go ahead and actually invest in it properly, right? So that might be a 5, 10, 50K client for us. We didn't know where that was coming from, but instead, all we did was put out content and continue to tell people what we're doing, right? If you have a network and you don't nurture it and you don't grow your network, then you have no new ways to gain new customers. And truthfully, as a human being, if you don't grow your network, then you're going to be stuck in the same place, right? Yeah. I don't talk to every single person that I do anymore from high school, right? Some people I've outgrown. And that's okay. And some people have outgrown me, right? But if you continue to, you know, stick in your ways and stay and do the same thing every single day, that's the definition of insanity. So you can't expect anything to change in your life, both personally and professionally.
Let me tell y'all, man, I met Drew in New York City at a Bunker Labs event. He pulled me aside and said, hey, I heard great things about you. He's like, I want to help, you know, let's schedule some time or whatever. We met at a diner in Montclair. He had your little notebook. He drew out some sketches and he sent me something back that was blown away, right? Fucking epic brand. Didn't charge me a dime. He did that for free. And I learned from you about that. That's why I was talking. We're having this conversation back and forth about, hey, should we donate a free project to someone, right? And again, I go back to you because you told me that, hey, that's what you did. And then also, you know, you would ask me throughout the years, hey, Mike, do you know a veteran-owned business, you know, that you want to recommend or whatever? That kind of give back component and stuff, et cetera. So a lot of this I learned kind of from you. And I also think about, it's weird, man, to think back being in that diner, you know, like, dude, I had liquidated my savings. My girlfriend at the time had broken up with me. The tires on my car had gotten stolen. You know, I was going through it.
Shout out to
you. Probably didn't even know. You know,
I had no idea. I had no idea. But the great thing is, if I didn't do that free project for you, we wouldn't be here today.
100%.
Right? And you mentioned to me something about the Misfits or Ironbound or Make Cool Shit or whatever. I don't offer any of our products for free. The big distinction of what I do personally, I donated Drew O'Brien's personal time to go ahead and build the Ironbound brand, because I have a program called Design for Good, where I take one business a quarter or two or three businesses a year, depending on my time, and I genuinely try to help them, right? Because I believe I have one superpower, and that is being creative. So at that time, little did you know, Mike, maybe, you know, maybe my tires were still on my car, but I wasn't that far behind, right? I was just starting a business and I didn't have the time to help you for free. But I was like, yo, man, this guy is so passionate about what he's doing. He's genuinely trying to clean up the streets of Newark and get these kids off the street. Now, I didn't grow up in Newark, but at the same time, everybody can kind of understand, you know, right. If you go down the wrong path as a kid, you know, your life could change. I was lucky, right? That didn't happen to me. But I donate my time as a human being to help out businesses. I don't build a company, right? Gotcha. I did the same thing for Backpacks for Life, which is kind of how we met, right? Through Brett and Alexa. Now, I worked for free for Brett and Alexa for like 5 years, right? Shout out to them. They didn't have to. At the end of the year, they would throw me like 1 year, like $500, maybe another $2,000 or something that they had in there, that they had in their kitty so that they could, you know, say thank you to me. I never asked for it. I never expected it. But then that was Brett and Alexa just saying, hey, man, we really appreciate you. Now, fast forward, Brett and Alexa were a fully paid client for their dispensary in Jersey City, Golden Door Dispensary. Now, I did, you know, the free work significantly outnumbered the amount of paid work, but that's also a couple thousand dollars that's in the company's bank account, right? So I take my personal time to help people in doing something. It doesn't have to be a logo. I could hop on a phone call with an intern or a kid that wants to get into this business, right? As a business owner, and more importantly, as a human being, if you have a skill and you have a trade that you're elite in and you don't want to share that with other people and you're a gatekeeper, then you're not going to be able to really grow, right? Yeah. So I always try to help out when I can, when I have the time.
Yeah, and I try to help out through content, right? So like, you know, I'm very cognizant of how I show up, right? There are ways to make money on the internet creating content, right? But I believe in putting out positive energy. Like I think of myself as like, almost like a professor, except a misfit would never be a professor, maybe, you know, probably a little bit more scrappy. So I just try
school
to teach,
knocks.
I share, I pass on knowledge, you know, whether it's my books or, you know, us coming doing this podcast and stuff. But there is that, you know, that give back, that lifting component. And this is what I'll tell you, right? When Drew did that logo for Ironbound, I was always sending him. Like when we got Everlast as a sponsor, like you were the first person I wanted to tell. Like I wanted you to be proud that like, hey, you had dedicated this time to help me out and that it wasn't a waste, right? So I would always send him, you know, when we did we were on national television and I would text Drew. I'm like, you see this? And I didn't put two and two together until later, but I was like, yo, he is on these Zoom calls and is that a bedroom? Like, yo, is that bed made back there? And I say that to say because Drew was ahead of me. I mean, he's still ahead of me, right? But like we were... I'm just saying that like he has, like my thing is lifting as I climb. Drew is also the epitome of lifting as he climbs.
I was ahead of you by maybe the skin of my teeth back then, right? Now we're on the same level. But I've also donated my time and worked for free for people and I tried to help them and they completely, completely took advantage of me and they didn't get two shits and they took it and ran, right? Yeah. That happened to me maybe 3 or 4 times in a row for my Design for Good program. I used to have it on the website, on the Make Cool Shit website. I used to have a tab and people used to be able to apply for Design for Good. And then I would be able to work with them 2 or 3 clients a year. I got taken advantage of 3 or 4 times. These people don't understand that my time is valuable. Everybody's 100%. Time is valuable. If I'm helping you, you know, they would either ask for 100,000 edits or they would overstay their welcome or they would just keep asking and asking and asking and taking and taking and taking to the point where I just do it low key on the side now. I don't really boast about it. It's not on the website because people take advantage of it, right? Yeah. You are not one of those people. Brett and Alexa are not one of those people. I can name names right now. I'm not going to, but at the end of the day, I decided for me, for the business, to take it off of the page because not everybody truly understands how much effort goes into helping people.
Yeah. You know, what's funny too, is I closed a lot of business last year, like a lot of business, more business than I'd ever closed in my life. And I looked at my bank account and I was like, yo, this shit is crazy. And it was so much money that I called Pia and I was just asking her advice. And she told me, she's like, don't be out there hiring employees. Don't yada, yada, yada. But you know who I carved out $10,000 for? My man, Drew. right? So when we launch Flawless Acceleration, I'm a skin in the game kind of guy, right? I'm like, yo, this is the designer. This is who we're going to use. I'm paying for it my motherfucking self, right? That's how in I am, right? And so it's been great. So like once we start rolling, boom, you know, you call me, man, we're jumping in. You're talking about this design description, how you're innovating and da-da-da. I was like, yo, man, let me support. And so as we, go ahead.
And guess what? You didn't even ask for a discount. I was like, yo, man, like this is normally 10K. I probably would have hooked you up a little bit too. You didn't even say shit. You were like, yo, man, where's the invoice? You paid it all up front in full, kept it moving, right? Those are the best clients that we have, not because they pay up front and they pay a lot of money. Obviously, that is an amazing quality to have in a client. But I have clients that pay up front, don't ask questions, don't micromanage, and therefore, they get the best product. Not because we're bragging, but they get the best product because we work together, but we all had our own roles, right? When I go to my accountant, I'm not saying, hey, man, can you give me a half off discount? And by the way, can you take these couple things off of this P&L and blah, blah, blah? That's not my role. I'm not telling my accountant what it is. He sends me a bill. I say, okay, period. I don't ask for a discount because that's not what I do.
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of thinking out loud on that, what I have found is I can do more for you, you know, when you pay that rate, that premium rate, right? Like we have a lot of skill sets beyond just design and branding, coaching, deal flow, potential. Like I can work harder for you. I don't want to be pinching, you know, begging to da da da. And so it's just a freedom. And it's like, it was crazy about this whole thing. And I think it still ties back to innovate or die. I had clients roll off. All right. So I had to get some fresh blood and new clients. And what I have found has been a whole kind of new energy. The team's excited. They're feeling the vibe, but none of it was guaranteed.
Business is not guaranteed. It never will be unless you are, you know, the government. Right? The government's always going to take their 30%, 40%. The difference between small business, big business, and the government is you always need to innovate. You always need to differentiate. I've had 300,000 services that I've offered. Obviously, we've pared it down now, and we know exactly what we want to do. But business is hard, man. And if you don't have a team and you don't have a support team around you, then it's even harder. You made a good point, Mike, where it's like, sure, if you're paying $20,000 to work with Misfits or Ironbound or Make Cool Shit, there is an intangible item that you get as well. If someone signs up with us, you're on our ecosystem now. So if it's a restaurant that we're branding and it's somewhat local, all I'm going to do is tell people to go check out the restaurant. And I'm not doing that because they're paying us. I'm doing it because they're now a client and they're part of our ecosystem. If our client needs a sign guy, I have a sign guy that I'll send him to. You know, I either send him to Matt McTaggart or John Roscoe, right? Two people that have paid me also to do their work. So you need to keep your ecosystem. You need to network your own clients, right? Rarely do I ever work for a client, do their project, give it to them, and they go away and we never talk again. In 7 years, maybe that's happened 10 times, right? But by the way, I don't want that, right? I want to keep in touch with that client. I want to see our work. I want to see them grow because that's a part of joining a company and signing on. You're getting the knowledge that we have and the network that we have.
I want to say this too as we close this out, right? I went to Kenjo on Monday night and text Drew, right? Kenjo's one of his clients. And I said, hey, man, we got to get a logo or something in here, some stickers or something. Because people are always asking, yo, who did the brand? Who did the brand? Who did the brand? But I go to, I take all my business meetings at Kenjo. You know why? Because I know you did it, right?
So that's a good point. You sparked an idea in my mind. And I said to Jamie Knott, who's been on this podcast, I believe his episode will drop shortly. But I said to Jamie, hey, on the bottom of our menu, can we get a little, this was branded menu designed by Make Cool Shit. And Jamie agreed to it. We agreed on a deal. But the point is, our name and our logo is going to be on all of the menus on Kidjo moving forward, on all of the menus we do with Jamie. On every menu I do for any restaurant now moving forward, the small, it's not huge, small, it's going to give us the profits. The only difference is Jamie asked me, and I think it's a very fair ask. He said, hey, can we not have the word shit on our food menu? So I was like, all right, man. I was like, don't even worry about it. We go by the design company when we have cases like this. But the point is, I would have never asked Jamie to do that if you didn't show up to Kinjo and they said, hey, who the hell did the branding and the menus, right? That sparked an idea. And now every single menu stuff that we do moving forward is gonna have that on the packaging.
All right. I know we got some time because Drew's got to go. He's got another client call. I got a client call at the top of hour two. But I do want to unpack this real quick. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. I don't think you can save your way out of a situation. You know? Now, money is different, right? You can spend money or you can be creative and innovate yourself. Maybe you make your own, whatever, right? But what I have found is that, like, I have made some bets financially when the MBAs would have probably said, hey, that's probably not a good bet. Like flying to Indianapolis and spending $1,500. Yo, we need to save. We need to cut costs. We need to da-da-da. I'm not letting my team off. You know, I'm not, that's a different vibe. I don't want that energy, right? I'm going to figure it the fuck out, right? And I don't know. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Like, can you save your way out of a situation or do you got to spend money?
So you're saying save financially, not save like physical, right? Like,
yeah,
you're
save
saying,
financially.
Got it. I think you can to an extent. I think you could, let me rephrase. I think you should be smart in your business expenses, right? Look at your P&L. And I don't think you should be making rash financial decisions. But I don't agree that you could save your business because the only thing, I don't think you could save your business by saving. Because the only thing in any business in the history of the world, sales is the lifeblood of the business. If you don't have new revenue coming in, it doesn't matter how much you save because you will have nothing to save. And in order to get new revenue, you need to open up new doors. I need to try new things. I need to talk to new people. You need to go with me to Indianapolis and open this new world of people. And then you're now in our ecosystem. If you didn't do that, we wouldn't have this. You put it this way. We've made a lot of money with the Misfits in a very short amount of time. If you didn't come with me, we wouldn't have 1 cent from the Misfits. Instead, yeah, you would have just saved $1,500. Guess what? I spent like $5,000 on everything at All-Star Weekend, right? Flight, plane, hotel, food, whatever. The $5,000 that we spent immediately got return on investment within a week, right? Correct. We signed a client when we were out there. Yeah. We chopped it up. We had Misfits and boom, guess what? Within 2 days, that was already paid off of my Amex bill. And it felt fucking great.
But this is the thing. There were no guarantees. We were still in the forest.
Zero.
So this is my challenge to you. Fucking innovate. Do something. And don't wait. We're talking about little bets. We made a landing page in a day, right? I made the decision to go out there in a day, right? This whole, you don't got time, right? Everybody loves to be innovative. Dude, listen, if you're going to make the spreadsheets and say, oh, I think this is a thing and this will work, you're already behind. We done already launched. I'm already pitching the offer. The website's already made.
And right? Guess what? If the offer sucks, we change it. And
we're changing it. We're tweaking
it. If the website isn't working, we tweak it.
We're in our websites all day, every day. Drew, how many times you change? I can't even keep up with Drew. I be checking the Make Cool Shit website. Then I come back. I'm like, Drew, what are you doing? See, he's learning from me. That's what it is. You're tweak. He's hung out with me, so he sees. Drew's going to bed. What am I doing? I'm up there tweaking. Right? Da-da-da-da-da. I'm a tinkering. For our listeners, correction, we need you to head over to Dog Whistle Brandon, the newsletter, at the link in the show notes, and just subscribe. That's my only ask. Just subscribe to our newsletter. Be sure to check out Make Cool Shit's design subscription for those small business owners out there that can't afford our premium package. Check that out. But our next episode, we're going to be talking about dinking and dunking, right? And you know, dinking, let me give you an example of a dink, right? I did a website once for $500 because I needed the cash. It was early on. I didn't know no better. I talked to the guy. I was like, oh, you got a budget? Boom, $500. But at a certain point, you do got to recognize, like, yo, am I missing out on opportunities because I'm spending my time dinking when I should be dunking? And I'm going to leave us at that. So until next time, peace, love. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Dog Whistle Branding is brought to you by the team at Ironbound Media, where we blend strategy, storytelling, and podcasting to to transform your brand into a dog whistle for your perfect customer. We believe that audio is the future of publishing, and we're committed to leading the movement. You can learn more by visiting our website, ironboundmedia.com. This series is powered by Mission Plus, a tech platform that helps nonprofit organizations upgrade their websites and leverage technology to deliver their services online. If your organization cares about its mission, then it needs to be built on Mission Plus. You can learn more by visiting missionplus.com.